Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Attaboy, John, that was right on target. Good shooting.
Thanks, Dan. I learned from an expert. That's you yourself. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because, hey, we have a lot of fun doing this, and we hope you do too.
And that's right. And today we're going to talk about a very fun thing, and that's having babies. Well, kind of.
Kind of. A lot of babies out there.
A lot of babies. We just passed 6.5 billion walking babies on this planet. 6.5 billion people.
That's a lot of huggies. That's a lot of huggies, Dan.
Man, if I only had stock in that company.
Yep.
And through the ages, you know, the population of the Earth is built, and certainly slowly but surely, but up until, what, another 100 years ago or so, about 100 years ago, things started to really get serious, and when you start to double into the big numbers.
Yeah, well, basically, when you actually, it's really interesting, when you study the history of humanity,
yes,
it seems like populations are dilly-dallying around the half of, you know, 500 million mark.
Okay.
For a long time. You know, it took, it seems like 4,000 years to go from the first few million to the first, billion.
Okay.
By 1800, if you looked at a chart along the wall, you'd have kind of a flat line. And at 1800, it had finally reached the first billion people. Then instead of going 4,000 years,
okay,
all you'd have to go is 100 years from the population to go from 1 billion to 2 billion.
So the second billion got to here a lot quicker.
A whole lot quicker.
Okay, I'm suspecting there's a trend here.
Well, if you continue on, let's see, that was 100 years ago. The Earth had about 2 billion people, they estimate.
Okay.
Now they got over 2 billion people just in India and China alone.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Just there they have over 2 billion. They get the rest of the world.
There's the rest.
And so when in 1975, they proclaimed, that was about that year, I think, that we hit 5 billion. So we over doubled.
Okay.
We doubled plus a billion in 75 years.
All right. So up to 5 billion. And as we just mentioned, we're at 6.5.
And that's since been 75.
That's like another 30 years, and we got another 1.5 billion.
And they think we're going to be, I think the year was 2012. They expect 7 billion. And they're saying the projections are, depending on what happens, that by the year 2025, we might be up to 12 billion people.
Now, a lot of this has to do with lifespan and health and food availabilities in different populations. I suspect that one of the reasons we saw that long flat line, John, is that for many, many centuries, a human population didn't usually live much about past 30 or 40.
And in the Bible times, it was really good, 70.
Yeah, well, and if you go way back to Methuselah times, now we're talking.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that, we got real good age then.
But that slowed down rapidly after the flood. A lot of things happened after the flood. In fact, you know, I used to, as we talked about Sink the Beagle, the way that we described the slowing down of the ages, or I should say the lessening of the ages from 900 down to 6 to 5, 4, 3, down to Abraham's time when it was, he lived to be, what, 175?
175, yeah.
And so forth. And after him, it was pretty much normal.
120, and then pretty much you're under 100 after that.
Yeah, after that.
It's the rare one that lives beyond that.
You know, I used to describe, we used to think maybe it just was shortened, but I've had a tendency to think it just sped up. I think the aging process sped up.
I think we deteriorated. Entropy took over. Mm-hmm. Disease increased. Mm-hmm. We wore down. We got smaller. We got less able to fight the diseases, which death and dying and and our own self-pollution
yeah,
produces.
You don't have to look at me when you talk about we.
okay. Just because you got a few
yeah,
months on me.
Yeah, a few wrinkles
and,
too, I think. But anyway. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, those are laugh lines. Thank you. But anyway, so when we talk about human population, one of the things that's kind of interesting for creation evolution issues is that for many years, it seems like evolutionists have said, how can you get from supposedly, shall we say, Noah's flood of about 4,500 years ago, you Bible believers, how can we get from 8 people to 6.5 billion people? And can it be done? And the numbers show that, yes, it can be done.
You know, it's the old story. Would you rather make a penny one day, 2 cents the next day? You ever hear that old
yes,
thing?
Yes.
On day one, you've made a penny. On day two, you've made 2 cents. So after day two, you had 3 cents in your pocket. And after day three, you had 4 more cents. So you had 7 cents in your pocket. And after day four, you know.
Yeah, and which would you rather have?
Would you rather work for a month with that kind of rate, or would you rather get paid $1 million or something like that? I'd rather get work for a month at that kind of rate, because when you start getting into day 21, 22, 23, all of a sudden it's cha-ching.
It's really
cha-ching.
Yeah, and exactly right. And when we talk about doublings, as you might call it, in the human population, it happens approximately every 150 years that the human population can double. And obviously, by now, we're in the ka-ching part of the equation, John. Mm-hmm. When you start to double today's population in 150 years, you're talking big numbers.
You're talking numbers well over 12 billion, talking 13 plus billion. And that's what the part, you know, so it's not just simple addition.
Right.
It's geometric expansion. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, when you look at the numbers of animals, when you start saying, is there enough food out there, Stan?
Okay.
What can the earth – one of the reasons why you have a lot of people who want to support global population control and promote abortion and promote condom use overseas and they're worried about global growth, because they already see the math and it happens incrementally. You don't even see it, because most of it's not occurring in your house. You know,
right.
But around the world, when you start adding it up, and there's a fear that there's just not going to be enough resources out there, Stan.
Yeah, I suppose that's a fear.
But you know, the interesting thing is, I wish I was a farmer, because they still pay farmers not to farm.
That's your Wisconsin background.
But the thing is this.
Okay.
Could the Earth support 12 billion people?
What's the answer? Yes.
Yes. There's plenty of land. There's plenty of arable land. There's plenty. We don't farm it and use it as efficiently. Mm-hmm. But the only reason why people starved in this world is not has nothing to do with not enough food. People starve because of corrupt political and sociological systems.
And the food
systems.
Is not distributed.
And it's the distribution and the political and sociological systems that prevent its distribution that leads to starvation.
And it's too
bad. The God of the universe has provided enough food.
God has provided enough, but he does expect people to cooperate. You know, another issue involving creation evolution and this population thing, John, is our good old friend, the Church of Uniformitarianism.
Yes.
Uniformitarian, it does sound like a religion, actually, but and maybe it does have religious connotations. But from the days of Darwin and even earlier, Charles Lyell and James Hutton, the people that started to say, what you see is what we've got in terms of the earth and so on. Uniformitarianism has generally slipped into a lot of areas of this whole controversy of creation evolution. It's in ice age rings. It's in ice rings. It's in tree rings.
Dendrochronology,
all the different things. What they do is they say, if we look at the rates today, we just wind the clock back. Radiometric dating is a good example. We wind it back. Why is it that they don't use this in population control?
Well, they don't like that one, because if you start winding back the population 50,000 years.
They say people have been more or less like the way we are now for at least 50. Let's use a conservative number, 50,000 years.
Okay.
How big on that?
You'd have had 332 doublings of the human population according to current rates and growth.
For 50,000 years. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, and so that basically you'd have a population of a staggering figure of a one followed by 100 zeros. We're not talking billions and trillions and bazillions. We're talking a population base. Bigger than a Google.
Bigger than a Google, for those of you who remember that number from school. So obviously, if we were to say, okay, all right, we've been here, and at the same rate, same rates for human population as the ground has been producing rock and sediment and fossils and everything, let's do that for population. Does it work for long age? No.
No. If you cut the rate even substantially down, you're still at a huge number. Mm-hmm. So basically, they don't like looking at that one, Stan.
So really, instead of the question of how can you get 6.5 billion people from 4,500 years ago and 8 off of the ark, the answer really is, how come if we've been around for 50,000 years or more, there's so few people?
The reason why there's so, yeah, but we've been around not that long.
Yeah.
And the answer for how we can get from 8 to 6.5 billion is pretty easy. We have a torpedo text that tells us how they got there.
Yes, they were being obedient to God's word.
They're obedient to God's word. What did it say?
And this is not the one that God told Adam and Eve, and we can remember this text, the same kind of thought. This is the one after the flood to Noah and his family. And God commanded Noah with these words, "And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply in it."
Way to go, Noah. You did it, man.
You did it. 6.5 billion great-great-great-grandkids are walking around today.
They're all yours. And yeah, but when you look at it, one thing I like to look at, Stan, you know, the Bible has this place. I want to take a little sidetrack here now.
Uh-oh.
We kind of wind around a different corner here. Uh-oh. With this information.
This happens on this program.
Yep. We just kind of take a...
Go with the flow.
A tangent.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
And the point is this. The Bible has lots of things that are signs that aren't signs.
Okay.
Jesus tells us there are wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and diverse
famines,
places. And he says, but these are not signs. The end is not yet, he says in Matthew, right after he says all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, though, is not given in the Bible as a sign. But I tend to look at it this way. When you look at that chart, the exponential growth, we said it was flatline. The chart would run across the page. If you turn to 8.5 and 11 by sheet sideways, the chart would run across the bottom of the page almost the entire way across the page, and it would just go up a little bit. And then 100 years more, it would double that little bit of distance. And then since the last, 7 years, it would almost go straight up to the top of the page.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it would just be on a skyrocket.
Each time it doubles now, it's really big.
Each time it doubles, our numbers are exponentially bigger. Knowing the nature of our fallen humanity, knowing the nature of our depravity and sinfulness,
the problem
isn't going to be resources. The problem is going to be the inhumanity toward others in its distribution. There would be enough food to feed the 12 billion, but there won't be enough kindness to let the food get to the 12 billion.
So
I'm thinking that if all the signs that tell us our world is heading for a great cataclysmic event, a global warming, so to speak, we talked about last time on Sink the Beagle.
Yes.
We need the intervention of God himself in this planet.
That's right.
And our population tells us so.
The population growth is another sign then, indicator that the last days are upon us just about, huh?
Yep. And I believe it's one of the ones that I tend to say, even though it's not the ultimate one in a sense, or maybe some people want to poo-poo parts of it, I say, you know what? It may not, maybe in my lifetime, it may be in my children's lifetime, but something has to give. And I think that what needs to really give is the love of Christ through people first and foremost, the gospel.
Yes.
Because I think God wants to wrap it up this world.
And to encapsulate that sharing that you're talking about. In other words, that kind spirit where we would distribute food around the world to those who have need. I think God is looking for missionary spirits in people today willing to give and to sacrifice so that others can live.
I think maybe he'll do some loaves and fishes for those who have those kind of generous hearts. If he doesn't need a whole lot to work with. He needs willing hearts to help distribute it. And so God can provide what we need to have him provide physically.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't worry about those things. The Gentiles will be seeking after him bad enough. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the rest of it will be added to you. And that's what we hope you'll discover, listener, and discover the sufficiency of Christ in a very growing world.
Amen. So tune in to next week's
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.